Hey everyone, Nick O'Neill here, host of the Sport Kite Podcast and founder of SportKite.org, and I wanted to thank you for tuning in and listening. This episode, I'm really excited to be sharing some news that hit the market, last week or so? And I'll be getting into that here in just a second, but before I do, don't forget to hit the subscribe button to this podcast, especially if you're listening on one of the music streaming platforms like Spotify or iTunes or iHeartRadio or Google Podcasts. Every time we get one of those notifications that we get a subscriber, it really, you know, fills the cup and, you know, encourages us to keep doing stuff like this. So make sure you do that. Also, we would love to get feedback or comments, questions, concerns that you may have about the podcast. So you can always reach out to me directly. You can find me on Facebook. I'm pretty easy to find them all over the Sport Kite pages. Or you could send a message to the SportKite.org Facebook page, or you could always email me at info@SportKite.org. I sometimes take about 2 to 3 days to respond, depending on how busy my workload is. I wish I could say that the Sport Kite podcast and everything Sport Kite related was a full-time job, but it's not. So I have to do stuff like many Sport Kite flyers to pay the bills so I can get out and fly. Again, it takes me about 2 or 3 days sometimes to respond. So apologies. If you need something right away, please let me know that it's an immediate response thing and I'll try and handle it. But thank you also to all of you that have already reached out with some suggestions for podcast ideas and feedback. I'm keeping a running tally of all of this. We're trying to make the changes as we go along, and we're also trying to schedule some of those podcast episode suggestions. So like interviews, topics, Q&A sessions, roundtables, all of that. We're trying to get all of that scheduled. As you can imagine, it's a little bit busy right now during the summer with everyone in the Northern Hemisphere wanting to get out and go fly. For those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, hola! would love to hear what your kite flying experience is in your traditional winter months and what you do during those months. So, give us a shout. Let us know. We'd love to hear. All right, so let's get into the news of the week that I thought was pretty interesting. And this is something I've kind of known about, and I've been waiting for the news to drop. I've been very, very excited because I've seen how this project has progressed over pretty much the last year. And to see it finally come to light and see the responses from the public is really cool and awesome. So what has happened is that this year is the 30th anniversary for Prism Kite Technology here in Seattle, Washington. It is led by one of the founders, Mark Reed, and he is still the owner of Prism Kite Technology, so he's still there. He's still, you know, working on various designs for different kinds of kites and putting stuff out. If you haven't followed the arc of Prism over the years, they started as kind of a little micro boutique sport kite builder. And from there, they grew to become a little bit more rounded kite company. So they do single line, they have dual line, and they have a handful of power kites for intro to power kiting and stuff like that. They are very, very easy to spot and definable by their bright colors, their color choices, and they're a pretty amazing brand. And I'm lucky enough to consider Mark Reed one of my friends, and we've had some very interesting conversations and chats just about the kite industry, where it's going, where it's been, how his approach to owning a company, just how it's kind of been different, but it's also made it very sustainable. So they were able to not only survive and thrive during the downturn of the pandemic, but they have also been able to survive and thrive as the whole kind of kite landscape and the industry changed in the 90s and the 2000s. So a big shout out to Prism Kites or Prism Kite Technology for making it to 30 years. It's really impressive and really amazing. But anyways, so the big news is that they have dropped a new special kite called the Synthesis, and it is truly a thing of beauty. And I have had the chance to actually see these in person. They are predominantly all Mylar sail, so they're see-through, which kind of harkens back to one of their classic kites that is a true collector's item, and that's the Vapor. So it kind of has a little bit of that look, but it's also got some features that are in some of the other classic kites. And so, yeah, it is truly a synthesis of all of what they've done over 30 years, plus some new features that are that have been introduced and are coming out. So, yeah, I want to read kind of what they're doing with this, because it is an incredibly limited run. They are only doing 30 of these kites. And they understand that, you know, a lot of folks want to buy these, but they want to make it fair instead of, you know, making it a price point thing. So they're holding a lottery, and that lottery allows you the option. If you win the lottery, it allows you the option to purchase one of these kites. And the kites, they're going for $600, which if you are in the boutique realm for hand-built, you know, here in the States, that's a pretty fair price. So with that, I kind of want to read this little intro that they had, or this little write-up that they had about the Synthesis. So first of all, it's worth noting that everyone at our Seattle HQ chipped in to build these labor-intensive flying machines in our development studio. Six special runs of five kites will be produced over the course of the year for a total of 30 very special kites in six color combinations. We've been a small company since the very beginning, and we love it that way. No outside investors pushing for unsustainable growth, no organization charts, or corporate nonsense. Just a tight-knit group of oddballs who love our special niche in the kite biz. It's been a crazy ride, but 30 years later, we're still having fun and thriving with the knowledge that many kites we built decades ago are still flying today. We thought it'd be fun to celebrate this anniversary year with a special project commemorating our long fascination with sport kite design. During the pandemic, we were able to put a fresh focus on development, taking advantage of the downtime to explore a bunch of ideas about materials, wing shapes, bridles, and fittings that have been accumulating in sketchbooks over the years. We first developed the Synthesis as a test platform for those ideas. It wasn't intended for production, as it's much too expensive and labor-intensive to build in volume. All right, so I want to take a pause there in reading this description, and I think that that last little bit right there about how that this originally was not intended for production, and that in all honesty, it's just simply too expensive and labor-intensive to build these kites in volume. I know there's a lot of folks that are hoping and thinking that this incredibly limited special run means that more kites are going to be made there in the Seattle factory, or in the Seattle workshop, instead of overseas. But the truth of the matter is that to have kites built there in Seattle is incredibly cost prohibitive. And I don't think a lot of people realize how cost prohibitive it is to have someone on site building those kites and selling, and what you would have to ask in order to sell those kites. It puts it way above, you know, what most people would realistically think about spending on essentially a piece of art, flying art. So no, I know from conversations I've had, no, they will not be doing more of these, no matter how much you want them. The idea is that they're only doing 30 of these to celebrate the 30 years of flight. And part of that is because this project really has been a labor of love. Everyone that's been involved, and again, I'm not involved. I just happen to be privy to the information. I stopped in and I've had chats and I've seen some of these kites in production. But everyone involved, they've been doing it because they love it. And it gave them something to focus on during the pandemic while, you know, stuff was crazy and supply time was crazy. So actually, you know what, they touch on that, a little bit in this next little section. So I'll just let them say it. So, but after many tweaks, it evolved into a very cool kite, and we just love flying it. This special machine is a real treat for any experienced flyer. The glimmering transparent sail turns heads every flight, and the silky smooth control feel makes it hard to leave the beach when the sun goes down. Then the idea popped up. Why not make a limited run to celebrate our 30th? With demand at an all-time high and factory production at capacity, we knew we couldn't add a new, complicated kite to the mix. But our Seattle crew decided that if everyone chipped in some extra time, we could make a few here in our development studio each month. We thought it'd be a fun way to share and to celebrate, so the Synthesis Project was born. Thank you for the support and enthusiasm you've given us over the years. We look forward to flying with you in many more to come. All right, so yeah, really what this was is it became an art project or a collaborative project for the employees of PRISM to kind of work together and do something fun during the pandemic. Supply chain issues and production issues and all this other stuff that was going on overseas. And then add into that the incredibly high demand for things for people to go do outdoors during the pandemic that could be, you know, safe and socially distanced, such as kite flying, meant that, you know, they just simply couldn't keep up. They were, as soon as kites were coming in to the warehouse, they were already sold. And it was crazy how fast they were going through what they could get. And it was, you know, it's kind of, it's a little disheartening, but also it's a lot of fun when you see so many people are wanting kites and they're begging for kites and you simply can't keep up with the supply. So that side's a little bit disheartening that you're trying to get people what they want. And just, yeah, there's just no more product. So now I believe some of those supply chain issues have been fixed and they've been able to put out more kites and get more kites out there. But yeah, in the interim, the crew there at PRISM sat down and they just kind of came up with some new ideas and sketched it out and played with it. And that's what the Synthesis is. So they have incorporated a handful of new features into this this new sport kite that I think are kind of cool, and I can't wait for folks to play around with it and see it. So, of course, you have the full Mylar laminate sail, but you also have the floating machined aluminum center T. So while the center T holds the spreaders together and it holds it to the spine, there is actually a small line that goes from the center T fitting to the spine. So the center T is not actually sitting on the spine itself. So that small line creates a little bit of extra, I guess like an extra cushion that prevents any potential breakage during crashes, because that center T typically on a sport kite has created a focal point for the damage to occur. When when a kite comes crashing down. So it creates a snap point. But now with this little piece of line, it actually distributes the load and prevents potential breakage there. It also allows for some bridle adjusting within the center tee. And so once you see that a little bit closer, it'll make sense. I believe they have photos of it up on their website. If you go to the prismkites.com and you click on the synthesis project, it'll take you to all of these photos that show it. So they've also hand machined aluminum wingtip knocks to make the assembly on the end a lot easier, and that those wingtip knocks are not going to degrade or fall apart. They've also incorporated some special fittings in the elbows and stuff like that that make bridle line attachments so much more clean. And it's just, I went gaga over those fittings. I know it's stupid, but just seeing them made it look really, really just clean and neat. And man, why haven't we been doing that before? All right, so there are quite a few more features, and they list them on the website. You can find out all of that stuff, so I won't kind of get into them here. But I know one of the questions I have seen posted is, how do they fly? This is me not speaking from firsthand experience, because I have not flown one yet. Again, I've only seen the kite physically in person. I haven't actually flown it. And so I don't actually know how well they fly, but I'm going to imagine, knowing just Prism and how they do things and how things are designed, that it's going to fly very similar to a lot of the other Prism kites, with maybe a little bit more finesse, because it's going to be a higher end one. So they do kind of talk about this on their page about, you know, the evolution of sport kites, how you went from ones that just kind of carved through the sky to ones that were more trick heavy, and then it became the era of all tricks all the time. And so you kind of lost some of that appreciation and that love for the smooth, you know, tracking precision kind of style of flying. So this kite is designed more for that smooth tracking position, but it is capable of doing several of the higher end slackline moves. It does make this little point that it's not a yo-yo machine, but you'll able to roll up 5 times with a tug of the line. But it loves to float through beautiful flat axles, endless fades, backspins, and effortless stalls when you feel the urge. It'll even dead launch on a smooth surface, for those of you who remember what that is. And this is a kite that feels as good in flight as it looks. So they are making a nod to the fact that kind of the overall evolution of sport kite flying has taken us from just, you know, carving through the sky, making nice, precise patterns, and really feeling when that kite locks in to where you're directing it, to the all slackline flying that we did for quite some time, and now kind of trying to find that nice balance between the two. And I believe the idea behind this kite is to kind of tip the balance back a little bit towards the nice tracking flight instead of just being trick heavy kite. So I would love to hear, whoever wins one of these or wins the opportunity to purchase one of these, would love to hear if that's what you feel when you fly it. And I'm sure whoever is lucky enough to purchase one of these, we're going to be seeing photos and postings of it on all of the various Facebook groups and online. I hope we are, because it would be really cool to see who gets these 30 kites. So speaking of, if you are interested in signing up for one of these, go to the prismkites.com website. They have a sign-up form. And each month they're going to release a batch of 5 kites in a new color series. And on the drawing date, throughout the coming year, they're going to randomly select 5 names from the sign-up list. If your name is chosen, they'll send you a link to buy the kite, but that link is only active for 48 hours. The retail price is going to be $600. That pretty much is just covering the cost of materials and some of the other little Easter egg things that you're going to find out when you purchase this kite. And that includes shipping. If you are not selected, don't worry. Your name will stay on the list for the next drawing. So, yeah, go throw your name in. And if you are selected, from my understanding, you're under no obligation that you have to purchase it, but you probably would want to. There's already been a lot of talk about the resale market on these kites is going to be ridiculous. But I really think that they're just going to be things of beauty that people are going to treasure and want to hold on to. So I want to give a big shout out to Mark and his team there at Prism. So gosh, there's, I believe, 10 people that work there. I know, you've got Mark Reed that kind of designed a lot of the kite and the kite parts. And then you got Stan Swanson, a rather famous kite builder who has been working in the shop to piece these things together and sew them together. So they are just, they are really beautiful, beautiful flying pieces of art and machines, really. And then, of course, you got Keegan, who is the customer service rep, who does a lot of the interaction with the public and talking to people. So if you are messaging their page or emailing them, chances are you're probably talking to Keegan. He's a very friendly, wonderful guy, very, very good person. So, and man, there's quite a few other people that work there, and you know, you can find out their story and more about them if you go to their website. So that is kind of the big news in the kite world, was the dropping of that. There has also been some other miscellaneous kite news going on, and that would be that we have had more competition happening in Europe. We're seeing some more sport kite competition getting scheduled, which is really awesome. I'm glad to see that. I have yet to really see any sport kite competition scheduled here in the States, or in Asia, or in South America. I could be wrong. If you know of any, please, please, please let us know at info@sportkite.org. Tentatively, we hear that there may be competition at the American Kite Flyers Association Grand National Convention in October. They have listed it in the magazine, and they have also listed it online, but they have the caveat that if there are not 3 people in a given event, they will not be running the event. So there are no teams competing this year. It is only open individual dual line precision and dual line ballet, and then open individual multi-line precision and open individual multi-line ballet. And then I believe there's the open class or open individual class, and then also indoor. So we'll see what kind of competition actually comes of then. I believe people signing up for the convention need to mark whether or not they will be competing in the sport kite competition. So we should be seeing in the next few months a notice of whether or not that will actually be happening. Let's see, what else is going on in the sport kite world? There is a handful of meetup and events that are happening, and we're trying to put that onto the Facebook page and onto the website. I know KiteLife.com is hosting some team flying workshops and some individual workshops in the coming month. So if you are a quad line flyer or you want to kind of work on your team flying skills, this is a great opportunity. You can find out more information about them at KiteLife.com. That's hosted by John Baresi, who is an incredible teacher and really good at instructing people how to not only fly, but kind of find their own style and how to incorporate team dynamics and fly in a team. So go check that out. We'll hopefully be making one of those sessions. Not sure if we can, but we'll see. And yeah. All right. So I just wanted to share that big news with you about the Prism synthesis and kind of share some more of the random stuff that is going on in the sport kite world. Next week, we will be publishing that episode about potential new sport kite competition that we are kind of workshopping right now. So stay tuned for that. And hopefully you're getting out there and you're flying and you're kind of just enjoying everything. So love seeing what you're doing, and thank you for sharing it. You know, we do pay attention online when you tag us, and really, really love that. So keep up the good work. Get out there, fly hard, and fly more often. All right. Talk to you later.